Alrighty, let's turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. One verse, I'll start with one verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I had fun preaching on Jerusalem Sunday night. Hope you enjoyed that. Amen. And had fun preaching to the fathers on Father's Day Sunday morning. I'm going to give you some, you that took the Romans class, this is going to be all review to you. But for some reason, the Lord just had this on my heart, and you just can't teach about the fallen nature enough. How many have ever done something, and you say, "Man, I can't believe I did that." How many have ever said something and say, "Wow, wow"? I mean, you just get out of church and say, "You know, some guy run you up to, you dirty bricker-bracker," you know. Or maybe you get a, maybe you're in, and all of a sudden some crazy bad thought would come to you. Amen. Hello? Or you're at the store and you give a lady $10, and she gives you $20 back in change. And your first thought is, "Get out of here! God's blessing you." But he's not. He's oh, these girls are—they're number one in the class. You're both getting a star on your paper. But or you just say, "Man, I just read the Bible. Man, now I just had this horrible thought." Or you get a bad feeling about someone. Or you just—how many like? I have a hard time watching the Cleveland Indians because they do things. Sometimes I just want to strangle the manager or whoever's running. You know, and you know. You too, Johnny? Like last night, if they wouldn't have sent the one kid down, they've got this one boy they're paying $1.3 million. He stinks. Skyber, Dr. Rich, Pastor, he stinks. He stinks. Yet the one boy that was pinch hitting for him and had over 20 RBIs a few times, they sent him down to the Columbus League. But last night when you had first and third, in the ninth inning, I would like to have that one boy bat instead of the other one striking out. Amen. I mean, just, but you say, and it, Ray, it doesn't mean nothing towards heaven. And some, I mean, I yell, I mean, Rosie says, "Rich, the whole city, the whole street can hear you yelling." I'd say, "You dumb bunny." Or he'll put the wrong guy, I'll say, "You idiot," you know. But what makes us do those things? You're right. We're going to talk about that tonight. We are going to talk about that fallen nature. And so, and by the way, we're like you wives, you all love your husbands. But there's, how many times, now don't raise your hand, but sometimes you just like to strangle your husband. How about just hit him over the head with a pan? But then after you do, you say, "Oh, I wish I wouldn't have done that." Or maybe she burnt your eggs or burnt your toast and you yelled and you walked out and say, "Oh, how could I yell at my wife?" How many of you have ever been through that? And you think, "Man, what made me do that? What made me say that? What made me act like I did?" Well, we have a fallen nature. And unless we know how to control that nature, that fallen nature is going to get victory over us. And so tonight I'm going to share with you in the scriptures. I titled the monster within. The monster within. Because we have, even though we're children of God, we've got a monster within us. And we're going to have him till the day we die or the rapture. But until we shed this body of flesh, we're going to be plagued. And I'm going to show you. How many think the Apostle Paul was a great Christian? Well, the Apostle Paul, he was pulling his hair out over this monster. And I'll show you in the scripture. Well, let's look at Romans 5:12. Let's just stand, stretch your legs one more time. Let me read one verse to you, Romans 5:12. And you got to remember now, we have the college and career downstairs, and the teenager with Bobby, and David and Tammy's got the young marriage, and Becca Club, probably, I don't see Eddie and Lizzie, maybe they got them, looks like Eddie and Lizzie might have them tonight. And so, but and then of course, God, who's ever run a nursery, God bless you watching the nursery. You know, God bless those ladies that do the nursery. Amen. Well, let's look at Romans 5:12, and I'm going to teach you the Word of God for about 40 minutes here. Wherefore, how many's got Romans 5:12? As by one man, that old dirty dog Adam in the Garden of Eden. For as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. That's why everybody dies, because all have sinned. For that all have sinned. And the wages of sin is death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart I could be a blessing. I believe this is what you put in my heart. At least, Lord, this is what was in my heart today. I pray you'll help me now. Holy Spirit of God, fill me and help me to say the words and the illustrations that would be beneficial to all the hearers tonight. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. People say to me many times, preacher, what's wrong with me? Matter of fact, some people, because they don't know how to deal with this fallen nature, they think they're not saved. Preacher, I said something or I did something. I can't believe I did this. Can I still be saved? Got nothing to do with being saved. When you got saved, you're saved forever. You're sealed until the day of redemption. We're all born with a fallen nature. You were born when you came out as a beautiful baby. You, even though you were a beautiful baby, you were born with a monster. And I want to give you three names for that fallen monster that you're in right now. Right there in 5:12, if you're taking notes, let me give you three aliases for your fallen nature, or three names for your fallen nature. The first name we call this fallen nature, Mr. Sin. Romans 5:12, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world. So the first alias, or the first name we call your fallen nature, is we call it Mr. Sin. Amen? Because that Mr. Sin, we sin all the time, every one of us. And the Bible says if we say we have no sin in 1 John, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So there's only one person that ever walked this earth that didn't sin. That was Jesus. Moses sinned. Jeremiah sinned, Isaiah sinned, the Apostle Paul sinned, John the Baptist sinned. Everybody sinned. You've sinned, I've sinned. There's only one that's never sinned, and that was Jesus. Because you know why? He wasn't born with the fallen nature. He was born perfect. He had God's blood in him, Emmanuel's blood. Amen? So the first name or first alias for this fallen nature, this monster that we're born with, is called Mr. Sin. The second name for it is embedding carnal mind. Look at Romans 8:7. Look at Romans 8:7. I'm going to lay a foundation, then I'm going to teach you some stuff. Romans 8:7. Because the carnal mind, that fleshly, that worldly mind. How many see that, Romans 8:7? Because the carnal mind is enmity. Boy, Sergeant, that word enmity is a big word. It's enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. Look up here. This fallen nature, this Mr. Sin, this carnal mind or earthly mind or fleshly mind, this carnal mind, the first statement it makes about it in Romans 8:7, it's enmity. That word enmity is stronger than hatred. If someone has enmity for you, you better watch out. That guy wants to kill you. Enmity is a stronger word than hatred. Look up here. This fallen nature that it hates God. It hates the Word of God. It wants nothing to do with God. It's enmity against God. Look what it says in Rome. The carnal mind is what? Enmity. Worse than hatred against God. See that? You can't make it be religious. You can't make it love Jesus. This fallen nature, that's why we got to die to our old man, and I'll show you that, and yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. Otherwise, we'll never bear fruit. Because look at Romans 8:7. Number one, because the carnal mind, that earthly, that fleshly mind, is enmity. Dr. Brooke, when he taught me this, he said that word's so strong, it almost comes right out of the depths of hell. That's how powerful it is, right? Enmity, hatred, more than hatred, stronger than hatred for God. For then look at another thing it says about this fallen nature. For it's not subject to the law of God. It's not going to obey God. Neither indeed can be. You aren't going to make that fallen nature serve God. You're not going to make that fallen nature obey God. It's opposite of God. It's hatred against God. How many are with me? And so the second name for that monster within is one, Mr. Sin. Second name for its carnal mind. Let me give you the third alias, the third name. It's over in the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. Some of you wives use this name for your husband. You got it from the Bible. Look at Ephesians 4:22. That you put off concern. How many got Ephesians 4:22? That you put off concerning the former conversation. That means more than just your speech. That's your whole lifestyle. That word conversation, talking about your whole lifestyle. That you put off concerning the former conversation. The old man. How many see that? Circle that word, old man. So the three names for that fallen nature, who can give me number one? Mr. Sin, you're right. What's the second name for that? Carnal mind. And the third one, what's the third one? The old man. And a lot of wives will say, oh, my old man, he's coming. Or come on, old man. How many have ever heard that? They get it from the Bible. Well, that third name and that third alias for this fallen nature, this monster that we're born with, is called the old man. Now, I want look what the Bible says about this. And by the way, it's in men and women. As pretty as you ladies are, you still got it. Little, like, I'm looking at Chrissy, and little Sydney. A lot of times I'll call her Chrissy. I watched Chrissy grow up as a little girl. Now Chrissy's got little girls. But little Sydney is just a doll, and she's smart as a whip, man. But as sharp as little Sydney is, now you can look at baby Wade, no, he's ornery. But even little Sydney, she has got a fallen nature. And little Sydney, she's got this old man in her too. Now, baby Wade shows you he's got it all the time. You know? He did tremendous in school, though. I'll tell you, I can't believe how good he did in school last year. I thought he'd tear that school out. He didn't, though. I don't know if Big Wade ripped into him or not, but he did good. I'll tell you that right now. He really did phenomenal. I thought him and Lukey would tear this place apart, but they didn't. But notice, I'm really proud of our baby Wade. And look at 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Now look what it says about this, which is what? He's corrupt, man. This fallen nature you're born with, it's corrupt. According to the deceitful lust. I'm telling you, he said, this thing is, what you were born with is no good. There's nothing good about it. It's corrupt. Remember, it's enmity against God, Romans 8:7. It's Mr. Sin. I'm telling you right now, there's not one good thing about this fallen nature that you've got. Not one. But look what it says here. And 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put off what? And that you put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness. The only way you're going to get victory in your life is you got to learn how to yield to that new man and put off the old man. I'm going to give you an illustration. Come here, Sergeant. Mark and Coolidge, could you come? Brother Coolidge. Here's Sergeant Cotiver. He really is a Sergeant Cotiver. He really is a sergeant. Now, both these men are, we're going to pretend like you were, that you used to be their sergeant years ago. I know you're not. You're too, you know. And they were in the service. I know he was a Marine. But
sorry now.
Yeah, right. When, let's say 20 years ago, when these men were in the service, Their drill sergeant, when that drill sergeant said, snap to it, they snapped to it. Amen? Like, give them a practice how you guys tell them the tension.
Group attention.
When, yes, sir. That's right. Amen. And look up here. You're going to get something in just 1 minute here. When you were lost, all you had was the drill sergeant of the old man drilling you, telling you what to do. Are you with me? And so every time that you saw that every time when that old man said for you to do something, you did it. Because you had no other master but that. But now these guys got saved. Now they're no longer under his authority. Come here, Bill. Now they got saved. See, this old sergeant, this old drill master, how many are with me? Stop. Now, here comes the new man, because they got saved, and he lives within them. The old man's still there. The new man's here now because they got saved. Now they got both of them inside. Before, they only had one inside. Are you with me? So now, when the old man says, do something, just a minute. Whatever you tell me to do, don't just turn your back. Like you don't hear him. I told them not to listen to you, but you keep yelling at them. But they're not to obey you for nothing. You keep trying to make them obey. Okay, go and tell them, old man, what to do. Tell
them. Wrist position and move. About face. Little face. Work more.
They're not.
Get moving.
Did you notice something? They're not obeying no more. You know why? The Bible says to reckon, we'll get it later. The Bible says to reckon yourself dead. Remember Ephesians 4:24? Look at that, Ephesians. Is that what it says, 4:24? Ephesians? 4:24 should say, reckon yourself dead to the old man and put on the new man. 24? Okay, now look. The old man's going to tell them, cuss and do bad. But they're not going to do it. The new man's going to say, no. For instance, let's say they went to Walmart.
That is a sin.
And Brother Coolidge and Brother Mark were in the Walmart, and they were buying their wives each something for their birthdays or something. And the teller gave them both back, they gave him $10, but she gave him back $20 in change. Now the old man's going to say, take it.
Put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
What a blessing.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him, give it to missionaries.
Give it to missionaries.
That, see, he'll lie.
Your pastor will love it.
Yeah. See, the old man will tell you lies.
Yeah.
But the new man will say, don't take that. Don't take it. No, don't take it. Don't take it. Right, don't take, and no, because you're a Christian. And so what they're going to do, now, here I am giving them the money. Now, if they listen to the old sergeant, the old man, then they're going to yield to the flesh. But they reckon themselves dead, say, no, I'm not in that army no more. I don't, see, the Bible says, reckon yourself dead. Even though he's not dead, trust me, he's alive. He's right here. He's alive. He's going to be there till the day you die. But the Bible says once you got saved, you're no longer in his army. He no longer has authority over you. See, before he had authority, they had to obey him. But now they got a new drill sergeant. They got a new master. And now they want to always reckon themselves dead. And whatever the new man says to them, they want to yield. How many see that? Okay, thank you. Coolidge, you can sit down. Mark, stay right here. Don't wreck his suit. Come here. You get his arm. Don't hurt him. Let me illustrate something to you. Mark goes to the bank. Mark cashes his check. His check's worth $300. He hands it to the teller through the drive-thru. She don't catch it. She's having a bad day. Her and her husband just got in a fight before she came to work. She's not thinking about the bank. Or maybe her kid's real sick, and but for some reason, she gives him $600.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. And the first thing is this. This happens every day of your life, 24 hours a day. Mm-hmm. The old man right away is going to say, get out of there before she sees it. Get out of there. Go on, tell him, take that money. But the new man said, no, they know you're a preacher. They know you lead singing in Bethel Baptist. You need to take a stand for Christ. Yeah. And see, what's going to happen is this. He's going to be tugged both ways. And whichever way he turns and yields to, that's who's going to get the victory. Over in Romans, I hope we get to it, but I don't know if we're going to get to it. It says, yield your members. I think it's chapter 6:14. It says, yield your members unto Christ. Are you with me? I think it's 6:14. I didn't have it written down. It just came to me. Well, but you are in a continued struggle. The old drill sergeant's always telling you, take it, take it. A woman comes by.
Money.
Yeah, right. You and Betty need to pay the electric bill. See, God's blessing. I'm telling you. No, he'll say those things to you. He will. Yeah, you're right. He'll even say, hey, put that in the mission. Put it in the building fund for the bill. God will bless you for it. He'll lie, but God always works in honesty and truth. So she will pay for it too, by the way. The bank teller will have to make up for that error that she made. Right. Trust me. And so, but Mark was going to turn and say, no, I'm going to give it back to you. He's going to yield to the new man. I'm a preacher, and I lead singing at the church and Bethel Baptist. And I, as a Christian, I know God would not want me to take this extra money. That check was only for $300. You gave me $600. And I want to return the $300. Now, let me tell you something. They might even yell at you for doing it. Because their fallen nature, like I'm the bank teller. How dare you? I didn't make no errors.
Right.
I never made an error. Let me tell you, mister. I've worked here for 25 years. I don't make no errors. You must have did something wrong. Because she's got a fallen nature too.
Right.
I'm telling you what we're dealing. You wonder what's wrong? We've all got a fallen nature. Thanks, fellas. You can sit down. Let's give him a great hand. Okay. We're talking about this fallen nature. What's one name for that fallen nature? Number one, what's the first name for that fallen nature? Mr. Sin, Romans 5:12. What's the second nature? What's the second name for that? Carnal mind, Romans 8:7. It's enmity against God, stronger than hatred, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, and it will not. You can't make it religious, it won't be. You can't tame it that way. There's no way the fallen nature is going to do things for God. No, it won't. You can't tame it. And then the third name is what? The old man. And what we know about that old man, he is what? Corrupt. He's corrupt. That fallen nature is corrupt. That's why you get those bad thoughts. That's why you lose your temper. That's why you do things. You say, man, I can't believe I did that. I'm a saved person. What's wrong with me? How many know what I'm talking about? And believe it or not, young Christians that are never taught the truth, they actually believe they lost their salvation. That's why, look up here, little kids, that's why it's so important they get taught the truth in Super Church and Becca Club and Sunday School. And Ruth and you that teach the science, teach them the eternal security. Because what happens, those little kids, they get saved. But then they sin. And they don't understand it, Ray. And Linda, they think, oh man, I must not be saved. Because I just yelled at my mama. Or I stole Bobby's pencil. Or I cheated on the paper. How many know what I'm saying? And they don't, the little kids, and even the adults, they don't recognize that they have a fallen, depraved nature. Man, I praise God, I haven't drank alcohol in over 40 years, okay? But believe it or not, about 6 months after I got saved, I drank one bottle of alcohol. Hello? Boy, am I going to hell because of that? No, but I tell you one thing, I was sure losing my testimony. Hello? I was just a young Christian, and I was... I, I, I was a big drinker before I got saved. And I got backslidden on God. And I was running from God, from the call. He called me to preach. I said, I can't preach. I can't get in front of people. I can't even talk. I can't read words. I'm the street kid. Don't you realize? You got the wrong number, pal. I'm the mafia guy. You want me to bust somebody up or tear somebody up? I can do that, but not preach. And I ran from God. I did. I ran from God. I'm not going to lie to you. And I went to a bar. And God bless that bartender. I drank about two. I don't even know if I did drink. I had to drink one or two sips of it. And the bartender says, "Man, where have you been?" And then she said this, "You don't belong here." And I set that bottle down. I started to cry. And I said, "You're right. I don't belong here." And I was crying. I went home and told Rosie, "Honey, I'm so sorry. I'm so far backslid on God. I said, I'll never do that." And I didn't, by the way. It's been over 40, See, a man could sin. Just because I'm saved don't mean I can't sin. You say, "Well, that guy drank an alcohol. He did this. He must not be saved." I'm going to tell you, David killed people when he was saved. Right. I'm not giving you a license to go out and sin. I'm just telling you, we're capable of sinning. Amen. I've got a monster in me, man. I'm glad I got the Holy Spirit in me, too. Because when John Cooper was coaching the Ohio State football team, I think I'd have jumped on the field and choked that guy, man. Boy, that guy used to make us lose to Michigan every year. That guy, I was so glad they got rid of him. See, that's that fallen nature. I prayed one day, "God, let some Americans shoot him right on the field right now. If I'd had a gun, I'd have shot him." You say, "Well, how can you be saved and have this thought?" Because I get in the flesh. Hello? God don't give a flip if Michigan wins or Ohio State wins. That's all us. Look up here. God don't care about that stuff. God cares about people getting saved and not going to hell. Hello? But we get so caught up in the worldly things, we put those before the things of God. Hello? And you wonder, and the same guy I was wanting to kill, if I would meet him, I'd try to witness to him and get him saved. How can that be possible? I've got a fallen nature. Hello? Let me show you some more. You're in the book of Ephesians? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Let me show you some characteristics of this fallen nature, this Mr. Sin, this carnal mind, this old man. Look at Galatians 5, we'll start at verse 16. I got to get moving here. Wow. How many got Galatians? It's only one book back. You're in Ephesians, right? Look at Galatians 5, 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." In other words, let the new man have control and reckon yourself dead to the old man. He's not dead, you're not dead, but you got to realize, if according to God, you can reckon yourself. I don't hear you, Sarge. I don't care, I'm not obeying you, Sarge. I'm going to obey this one. I don't take my orders from no more. Hello? Now watch, 17. "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit." Remember, look up the preacher. Remember how I had him tugging? Remember Coolidge? Brother Mark and the two ones? That's how there's a pull in your life every day. How many are with me? Let's say, okay, Jimmy, he's a tremendous mechanic on cars. But let's say something's not coming off. Let's say something's rusted on there and Jimmy's trying to get a bolt off and he can't get done and he's smashed his knuckle and, man, he is hot, tired, that stinking thing won't come off no matter how hard he hits it. Now he's almost broke his finger. And all of a sudden, Jimmy goes, "Oh!" You think he's going to say, "Glory to God, amen, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus." No, he's not going to say that. He might say something else. "You dirty bricker, 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 bricker."
Yep.
And then you'll say, "Oh man, why did I do that? I'm a saved man. What's wrong with me?" He's got a fallen nature. Hello? Am I making sense to anybody? Look at this. Look at verse 17 and 18, right? For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. Yeah, one's south pole, one's north pole. One's good, one's bad. How many are with me? They're opposites. One to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh, watch this. Every one of you people have got this in you. Every one of us. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, that's lustful desires. Men have to really watch this kind of stuff, because women are not as bad, but men, we have to watch where our eyes are. And you men, when women, if something catches you, you need to turn your head. Hello? That fallen nature, I'm going to tell you, it's in the preacher, it's in every person. Getting quiet here now. Now I'm really getting where people live. Hello? You wonder, well, how can all this, it's you got that monster in you. You need to know how to control it. Hello? Boy, it's quiet. Now the works of adultery, number one. Boy, you see that everywhere you go. Fornication, that's having sex without marriage. Uncleanliness. Look, idolatry. Look at that 20. People always worshiping statues and all kinds of stuff. Witchcraft. Oh, man. You're seeing a lot of that now. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Sedition. That's like reveling. Heresies. Lies. Heresies is lies. Does that sound like anybody? Hello? Envying. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. All night drunk parties. And such alike. Every one of those are in every one of us. And which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. No, we did do them in the past. And by the way, but I don't hardly do them anymore. I've got the victory over almost all of those. I get mad once in a while. Hello? How many are still with me? In other words, people that continually practice, if you continually practice those on your daily life, you're not saved. If you like those things, if you constantly let your life be like that, then that means the Holy Spirit's not in you, because the Holy Spirit will grieve you. I'm saying any one of those, Johnny, you and I could commit. And some of those things we've committed in our mind. Hello? But we won't continually practice them as a daily part of our life. Are you still with me? Because we have a new man in there now. Now, when I was lost, Sergeant Cotiver, that old drill sergeant, he had full control of me. I hate to say it, sometimes he still gets control of me when I lose my temper. Because I don't have to. Like, if I yield to the Spirit of God, I would not let him get the victory. Hello? How many know what I'm talking about? Now look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit of God, that new man, is love. You can always tell when you're in the Spirit of God. You can always tell it. If look up here, you girls. If you're ready to yell at your husband and you're ready to kick him or, you know, spit on him or burn his toast or do something, that's not the Spirit of God. Or the same thing with you boys. If you're mad, you're not in the Spirit of God. By the way, the Bible says, great peace have they, love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Watch 22. Now, when you're in the new man, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the new man, and you get that the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit, big S, by the way, see that big S? That's the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. Joy, peace. Look at the next one. Long suffering. That's what I needed with John Cooper. long-suffering. They finally got rid of them. I'm doing a lot better. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. How many see that? Meekness. Temperance. Against such is no law. When you see these characteristics displayed in 22 and 23, you got the new man on. When you see those other ones above being demonstrated in your life, you got the old man. So Robin, when you lose that hillbilly temper and you're getting ready to hit Coolidge over the head with a frying pan, that's the old man. I'm going to hit you, old man. But before you hit the old man's telling you to hit him. How many are with me? Coolidge, before you get mad and kick the dog, he wasn't kicked. They love their dog. Got a cute little. But before you get mad and kick the window out or something, no, it's the old man telling you to do that, not the new man. New man says, now take it easy. We can work this thing out. Hello? Love, joy, peace, long. How many are with me? I'm telling you right now, and until we learn how to yield and reckon ourselves dead to the old man, you're never going to get victory. And you'll have a defeated life. That's how you say, how can those Christians have such victory? They've learned how to control, to reckon themselves dead to the old man and yield to the new man. Let me show you. Look at the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, and I'll close. But don't get excited. There's 10 verses I got to read to you. Say, man, he's getting out early. He's going to go to the hospital. Romans chapter 7, look at verse 15. How many believe? I believe Apostle Paul was one of the greatest Christians ever walked the face of the earth. I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said. Paul said, see, let's see, Emma, let's see if you and I don't fit right in what he's saying. I know I do. Betty, let's see. For that which I do, I allow not. Now, it's going to sound like it's back talk. It's going to talk like it's, but it's not really. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would that I do, I not. Do I not? But that what I hate, that I do. Well, what makes me do that? I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to yell at my wife. I didn't want to yell at my... Hello? How many are with me yet? Paul knows what you're going through. He went through it himself. If then I do that which I would not consent unto the law, that it is good. But now that it's no more I that do it, uh-oh, he recognized something. Look at verse 17. He says, "Not, but sin that dwelleth what?" Oh, we got Mr. Sin in us. We're going to have Mr. Sin in us till the day of the rapture or till the day we die. For I know, verse 18, that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's why, Johnny, I can go in here and preach and praise God. Walk out of this church. Right after I walk out of the church tonight, after praising God here, someone might run me off the road. I might say, you dirty bricker. Yeah. Because this tongue can either praise God or curse. How many are with me? Yeah. I'm not saying we should do it. I'm just trying to tell you. When that comes up, the key is to recognize what spirit is controlling you. The moment something comes up, the light should go off. Old man, new man, what is it? Like you should, and then that lady offers you that extra money. She gives Mark $600 back. Old man's going to say, take it and run. God's blessing you. Give it to the missionaries. He won't give it to the missionaries. He'll get home to bed and say, we need that money for gas and electric bills. Hello? How many are with me yet? But the Spirit of God say, no, Brother Mark. You're a Christian. You're my child. Give that money back. Have a testimony for me. And I believe Mark would do it. He'd say, no, I'm a man of God, and I want to serve the Lord. I want a testimony to tell you that Christ is real. As much as we need that money, I'm giving it back to you because I don't want to take nothing that's not mine. Hello? And he yields to the new man, and he gets victory. And he drives away with peace in his heart. But if we take the money, all the time we're driving away, the Holy Spirit's grieving. Take that money back. Take that, Bill Greaves. We're grieving. The new man's grieving in our heart. No, Go back. You still got time. The bank's still open. Go back and take that money. Tell them you made a mistake. Take it back. Take it back. And we're going to yield. You go to yell at your wife. Say, she deserves me to yell. Well, maybe she deserves you just to hold your tongue. Amen. And say, God, I'm going to yield myself to you right now. And you give me wisdom how to handle this matter besides losing my temper. Hello? Am I making sense to anybody today? Look what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 7 there. In verse 18, for I know that in me there's no, my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. Look at, I want to do good. I want to do good, Wes. I want to do the right thing. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. Because sometimes, man, I just don't do the right thing. When that architect stole this money from that one up Michigan, I'm not going to lie to you. My first thought was, I'm going to have David drive me up there. I'm going to punch that guy's lights out. That's a horrible thing to tell you about your preacher, but I'm honest. I've always been honest with you. I'm not a tough guy, but that guy didn't steal my money. He stole God's. If he would stole my money, I would have been mad, but not that mad. And when me mad, he stole God's money. You can hit me. I still get mad, but don't go against God. And I actually had David. I had David call him because I was so mad. I was trembling. I was afraid. If I got on the phone, and said, "I'm going to get." I was going to tell him, "Listen, pal, if I could reach through this telephone, I'm going to wring your neck right now." But I'm trying to work on it. God's still working on me. But that was my fallen nature. And I said, David, you talk to him for me, because I was so mad I was shaking. I was just an old, I don't know what I am. Amen. I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Amen. And God's still working on me. And I haven't shot nobody yet. Doing good. Amen. So, let's look at that verse. I got to close this out. Look at verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. Like that, this is Apostle Paul saying this, D. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Holy mackerel, man. That's the word of God. Paul saying it. How many see that? Bill, he had the same problems we do. Now, if I do that what I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I'm telling you, we got a Mr. Sin in us. We're born with him. We got the old man, carnal mind. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. It's a flesh. It's a fallen nature. And unless we yield ourselves to God and reckon ourselves dead to the old man, we will not get victory in our life. And we'll lose our testimony, and we won't reach people for Christ, and we won't have a victorious life for Christ like he wants us to have. Amen? 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, look at this, when I would do good, Sergeant Cotiver is present with me. No, that fallen, that old man, that's the old sergeant. Not Brother Cotiver. He's a good one. I find then a law that which when I would do good, what's he find? Evil is present with me. What's that evil that's present? That fallen nature. That Mr. Sin. That old man. That carnal mind that's enmity against God. That's corrupt. That's not subject to law. That's what's with you all the time. You go to bed with it. You wake up with it. No matter where you go, you take it with you. For I delight in the law of God. After the inward man, that's the Spirit of God. Billy, when you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. That's the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my... See, old man, new man. How many see it? He said, man, there's a battle. Man, there's a battle. There's a war going on. There's a war, a daily, daily war going on inside me. Always. Look at 24. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Look up here, and I'm almost done. Paul, in those days, he was talking about, he says, Ruthie, he says, like I have a dead corpse. And everywhere I walk, I have to carry this dead corpse with me. That old man, that fallen nature, I have to carry this dead corpse. Because everywhere I go, I can't get rid of it. Even though I'm saved, it won't leave me. That flesh, that fallen nature, that dead. See, remember the Ephesians says 2:1? You that were dead in sin, he quickened us. How many are with me yet? And he says, it's just like I'm carrying. No matter where I go, I'm carrying a stinky, smelly, corrupt, decayed corpse. Everywhere I go. And I got to deal with that corpse all the time when I'm trying to serve God. How many are with me? But look what he says, I'm done. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve the law of sin. Hallelujah. And so today, I want to say, if you're battling with Mr. Sin, don't give up. It's a daily battle. And you're going to have to battle until the day of the rapture or the day we go to be with the Lord in heaven. And recognize, the thing what I want you to see is this. I want you to recognize when it pops up. You get mad or you get some bad thoughts pop. It's got to go off. Uh-oh. Or you get an evil thought. Who's telling me that? Is it the old drill sergeant or the new drill sergeant? Hello? How many are with me? And the moment, see, the key is to recognize right away who's dealing with me. Then the next key is, once I recognize who I'm dealing with, deal properly with it. Is it the new man? Then yield to him. Is it the old man? Then reckon yourself dead. I don't take no more orders from you no more. Coolidge was a Marine. No matter what the sergeant says to him now, he don't have to take his orders because Coolidge is no longer in that army. He's in the Lord's army. Amen. Coolidge said, hit the road, Jack. I know you're not dead, but the Bible says I'm going to reckon myself dead to you because as far as I'm concerned, you're dead and all your orders mean nothing to me anymore. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? And so I reckon myself dead to the old man. And I yield to the new man, the Spirit of God. And that's when you get victory. And that's when you'll get peace and joy. And that's when your family will be blessed. Many times because I've let the old man rule me. I'll close with this. In Toledo, Ohio, and I've told you the story. And I'll close with it. It was Stevie DeSalms' grandpa, Brother Jim Williamson. Senior citizen. We were real close friends. And every Tuesday, Jimmy would bring his guitar. I was just a young kid preacher. I'd pass from Lighthouse Baptist.